the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Tom Izzo joins us now for a little bit on Cap and Haw. Going into another Final Four, you've been to so many of them.
You say that so nicely. Another. It makes me feel good, but you have passion when you say that. I don't think our players get enough credit. You know, there's too much credit given to me. My assistants are the ones, and David, you know this, on a one-day turnaround, your assistants have been grinding all week to prepare for that. And then the players, if you want to be at championship level, there's going to be roadkill, and you better schedule good and drive your players, because if it was easy, everybody would get there.
That's Tom Izzo, who was on the show yesterday, and he talked about how hard you have to push players if you want to be good. Dave Leto's in our studio on Cap and Haw. Can you push kids today like you could 20 years ago? Because Jim Calhoun got after guys. Mm-hmm. Tom Izzo gets after guys. Mm-hmm. Some coaches go, you can't push today's generation like that.
You know, what I like to think of it is, you use the word push, and I'll coach or whatever adjective you want to tag to it, but coach them hard, love them harder. That's what I'd like to, you know, you've got to, and they'll respect you, because I think, by and large, you know, they've changed. I think social media has changed the communication of way young people, you know, view relationships and those kind of things, but they're still the same. You know, they're still the same. They still have the same. They want to be loved. They want to be coached. They want to be pushed. They want to be disciplined. They don't always accept it the way that they did 15 years ago. So browbeating, especially publicly, that you can't really do that anymore. But you can get after guys, and they'll allow you to get after, as long as they know that you're going to love them harder. And that's what has to, when you ramp that up, you have to ramp the love up even more.
You know how coaching is. You've been a part of it for a long time, this profession. So I asked you yesterday about why, from the outside, there's a lot of noise. And guys like myself, Cap to maybe a lesser degree, have said, you know, this was a job that needs somebody to rejuvenate the program, an up-and-comer, somebody arrow pointing up. Mm-hmm. We use the term retread, retread a lot, or recycled coaches a lot. Mm-hmm. You would qualify because you've been here before. Mm-hmm. How do you address that perception from that's created from the media that DePaul needed an up-and-comer, and they, you know, settled for a guy who had been here before with experience? Mm-hmm. Doesn't say so much about your qualifications, but just that idea. Mm-hmm. And you responded by saying it's more than just a profile. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting response, but could you elaborate on just that idea that, you know, it's more than just winning the press conference or creating that perception?
Yeah, you know, and this is something that coaches talk about, you know, in and amongst our own groups, and we discuss. This time of year has become so much more magnified, and Coach Izzo just spoke to it. You know, he gets so much credit, but it's the assistants, it's the players. So everything gets magnified this time of year, because the world, who maybe casually follows college basketball, is doing it exclusively right now. So a coach upsets a team. A team makes it to Sweet 16. You know, and they become that guy that everybody focuses in on. It does not mean they are right for the next job that they're going to get. And I've been a part of that, you know, on both sides. And so, you know, a fit is what the reality of the situation is. It may not be, or it may be the press conference. It may or may not be the guy, you know, when you get in season and call timeouts. But you have to try to find a fit. And I think that was part of my explanation. And I think in this particular case that because I believe in myself and I believe in Jeannie, the fit of what I think is supposed to happen and what has happened historically, and most importantly, what will happen, that I know more than anybody else right now. And I think that's why I'm passionate about it, and that's why it may make some sense.
Can you understand how people would look at it from the outside and
Absolutely.
Say, okay, the past two coaches have been similar to you, closer to the end of their career than maybe the beginning, and you would want a guy whose arrow might be pointing up or might be at the beginning of his career trying to prove something.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I also will say that, you know, I know me personally, and the things that I preach, is I don't put a player in a box, you know, because you're the same class or you have the same athletic prowess. I have to be able to nurture that person's individual talents and put it together with a team. The same with coaching. You know, I am my own person. I'm not young. I'm not old. I'm not, you know,
you're what, 54?
Why are you going to say that now?
That's what I am.
Yeah. But you know what? It depends on the mindset. It depends on the soul. God bless my mother. She blessed me with a very young soul. So, you know, that means I get up in the morning with energy. I fall asleep at night when I have no more. That means that if a kid is 20 years old, I can listen to the same music and understand where they're coming from. You know, I'm not a rocking chair kind of guy. I have young children. I started my family late. So that keeps me young in my spirit and in my mind. And so I don't know, and I don't want to know yesterday. And I love Oliver to death. He's a good friend of mine, but I'm not him and he's not me. And I don't, and I understand if you want to make those comparisons, I understand. But what I also believe in life is, and we all do this, I'm a victim of it as well as you all and the public in general, is that we make assessments on without factual knowledge. You know, a little bit of knowledge is dangerous. And so I tried not to do that in things I do not know. But we all opinionated. I can coach the Bears just like anybody else can, but I don't know what goes on day to day. And so I have to reserve judgment when I say that, and I have to admit when I may be wrong in a lot of cases too. And so in this particular case, it's the same thing. You know, people know some things. They may not know everything, and people are going to have value judgments about it. But reserve judgment until the proof is in the pudding.
That's fair.
I got a text from a buddy of mine. He's a DePaul season ticket holder. He said he broke my heart when he left. Mm-hmm. I'm still ticked. How do I know that he walks in, gets a couple recruits, wins, and then he gets a call from wherever, Florida, and they're like, hey, we got an opening. Want to come? That he won't leave me again.
Yeah. I mean, again.
You promised your wife.
Yeah. I can't. I promised my wife. I promised my family. You know, we moved to Tulsa 10 months ago. So this moving thing has gotten really, really old. But if you know, other than me signing a contract, which I can probably do right now, I'm not going to. This is a great city. I grew up a city guy. My wife is a city person. So that part of it is important to us. I'm not, you know, there is no other job. I've been there, done that. You know, have I been on a national stage and won a national championship? Yes. Have I taken my own teams to the tournament? Yes. The only thing left to do is to restore this program to prominence and get to a place that my personal dreams want to be answered. That's to get to a Final Four as a head coach. And I think we can do that here. But all the other things, it's been there, done that. I don't need the things that maybe a guy in another place in his life might be looking for beyond what we have right now. I've been there, and I really don't. You know, my as I told Jeannie, my next stop is to sit back and relax, and I'm not in a hurry to do that. You know, I could be here at 54, 15, 20 more years. That's just how it's going to go. And again, I can say that, but it's up to people to know if they can believe that or not. And the proof will be as I walk through this walk day by day.
From afar, since you left, what has it been your perception of just the amount of talent, high school talent, that has come through this city? Since you left, Derrick Rose, Anthony Davis, Jabari Parker, Jahlil Okafor, Wayne Blackshire. There, you can go on and on and on. And how have you perceived that from once you left Chicago, and how does it compare to other cities that you've recruited still in the business?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, each and every city usually has cycles, highs and lows. And you take the state of Texas, for instance. I mean, there's guys as much, if not more, and because it's a huge state, than even in the city of Chicago that play all over the country. You know, Justice Winslow at Duke, you can go on and on and on. Kelly Oubre, the list goes on and on. And they're at a high. But, you know, probably 10 years ago, it wasn't like that. You know, New York City, the quote-unquote famed basketball mecca, is in a serious low right now. They can't say the same names that you just mentioned as they're in Chicago. The one thing about here, it really has not had, you know, an ebb and a flow. It's been pretty
steady,
consistent and steady along. And that's a credit to you know, the talent. It's a credit to the people that coach them, both in high school and AAU systems. It's a credit to the passion that this city, you know, has around basketball. And so that's a great thing. You know, cracking that nut and understanding who and what will be part of it is part of my job. I've got to be able to do it and do it well. And there are those guys, other than the obvious people you talk about, that are playing other schools and doing very well, that don't have the names that could be at DePaul. You know, we mentioned off air about the, you know, Dwayne Wade story. I mean, he wasn't a great, great name in high school, but going to Marquette was the greatest thing for him, the greatest thing for Marquette, and the greatest thing, you know, for a lot of people. But you know, I like to look at it as a, as again, case by case. There are a lot of people. Can't get them all. No, I won't get them all. You know, Izzo's going to be through here. Krzyzewski's going to be through. Everybody's going through. But it will take that one young man and his family and the people around him, his supporters, to say, you know what, I believe in you. I believe in DePaul. And it'll change dramatically right after that.
Like Mark Aguirre did back in 1978 when he came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Weren't you like 35 by then?
Funny guy. The interesting thing about this program, you're now in the Big East. You were in Conference USA. Mm-hmm. That's a step up. Mm-hmm. But you also have some more talent than maybe you inherited when you first got there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me your thoughts on going to the Big East.
Yeah, you know, again, not because I don't know. I have to go through this league as it is right now, based, you know, as opposed to the Big East when I was in it as an assistant coach. But, you know, Conference USA at that particular time had Hall of Famers.
They did?
Know? Yeah, you John Calipari's, Bob Huggins, and, you know, list goes on and on. And all of those guys, Mike Bray, they're all doing very, very well. So being good in that league at that time was very difficult. And we just found a way to try and do it and be good at it. This is a different animal. You have Jay Wright and John Thompson and some wonderful coaches. Ed Cooley's trying to do the same things at Providence as we're trying to do here, and he's been, you know, wildly successful at it. And so I've got to evaluate that landscape. I've got to see what works. I've got to investigate, you know, and watch film on everybody and see, you know, what styles that work. And then I've got to put together a game plan that will attack and give us the best opportunity to be successful, you know, given that league. But, and obviously, six teams went to the NCAA tournament. It's the number two RPI league in America. So I'm not a fool to think that I've got a lot of work to do to make this thing work.
Before we let you go, how has DePaul changed in what you're selling since the last time when you mm-hmm. sold it? Because mm-hmm. they've got a new arena in the mm-hmm. works. Mm-hmm. Is that, I would imagine that'd be a huge help. At the same time, there's got to be questions like, okay, you have to explain it during recruiting. Okay, where is it? It's off campus, but it's in the city. It's going to be done now. How does that factor in, do you think, your future recruiting pitches to these kids? And how big of a factor mm-hmm. will that be, the new arena be?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that would be huge. It would be, because I think real or unreal, and it is real, the empathy about playing at Allstate Arena has been around for long before I even came to Chicago. And so that change is historic. I mean, more than I could even understand. But it's also, I knew it, and back what David was talking about and Mark Aguirre and all that, it was the little school under the L. Okay.
Right.
And it has had to go beyond that. So what's different now than 10 years ago, or from a historical standpoint, is by entering the Big East and now having like schools in the Big East, it can compete from a resource standpoint. It can compete and all the schools having the same types of mission. And so creating that niche in and amongst the other nine schools is as important as whatever change goes on, you know, or in front of the university. And so, you know, we'll continue to do things to put us in a better position. I think there are a lot more things at my disposal than I had before to make this thing work. So that's a quality change. And as a result, again, it's a day-by-day process, going back to the beginning of the conversation about that brick-by-brick approach to make this thing work.
Staff, have you figured anything out on what you're going to do with your staff yet?
You know, I'm in that process constantly. And obviously, Billy's going to stay, which I think is a tremendous addition. He's been a long friend and colleague of mine, and
good move.
Yeah.
Mama didn't raise any fool either, so. I'm sifting through. I've got a plan, and the plan sometimes takes a little bit of left right because of, you know, the calls and communication that you have with people, the things to think about. But my plan over hopefully the next week to 10 days will try to be executed and get everybody on board so we start working.
Welcome.
Yep. Welcome
Thank
back.
You.
Thanks
Thank
for being here.
Don't
I
go anywhere
it.
Again.
No, not at all. I'm here to stay.
There you go. Dave Lato, the new head coach at DePaul. We'll take a time out. We'll come right back at Cap and Haw.
Or Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Welcome back at Cap and Haw. Comcast Sportsnet is where you can watch our show every day from 9 until noon. They rerun it, and then we have the Cap and Haw Rewind running on two channels last night.
Was it?
Yeah, it ran on CSN Plus while they did Blackhawks Post with Pat Boyle, did the news show and then reran us again.
That's a lot of cap, man. That's
a lot of ha.
That's ComCap Sportsnet, as I like
You're
to call
funny,
it.
Funny guy.
Dave Leto, impressive in person, impressive resume. He's an impressive man. There's no question about it. I mean, you can see the appeal. There's and at the risk of repeating myself, it commenting on what you think they direction they should have gone or the direction that would have, you know, gone that would have represented something different from the past two coaching searches does not disqualify, you know, so you can have that opinion and still believe that this is a guy that has a presence about him. You can just tell, you know.
And you know how he's like calm and reserved?
Yeah.
He gets after
it. Yeah, he does.
At practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got some commonalities, interesting, with some people in town, obviously from his past, but the Tom Thibodeau link is something you forget about, but they're both guys, East Coast guys.
Yeah, good friends.
And similar approaches to their basketball teams, I think. You know, I think defense first, that came very clear. And you know that there's going to be a focus. I think probably Tibbs got more of a maniacal focus in his life. Seems like Dave Leto's pretty balanced.
He's got a family, got kids, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about making promises to his wife. He's been in Tulsa for 10 months, doesn't want to move again. He doesn't like the idea of being a vagabond.
Well, he went Chicago, DePaul, Virginia, NBD League, which you're on the road. And
Maine.
It was in Maine,
then
correct.
Missouri.
And then to Missouri as an assistant to Frank Haith, to Tulsa with Frank Haith, back to DePaul. That's a lot of moves.
It's a lot of moves. And
it's a vagabond lifestyle.
It is. And you know, the one thing that people.
It's like for some, it's a radio lifestyle.
Right.
Not all of us.
The one thing that, you know, it's in the coaching industry, and I think he did a good job of addressing this. He understands these questions. He understands this.
He's a pro.
The subject area. But nobody was knocking down his door necessarily at Tulsa, right? I mean, this is something that I asked him yesterday when he, you know, wanted to be a head coach again. Had he always wanted to envision getting back into a head coaching position? And, of course, but he didn't see this one coming. I mean, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, this happened very fast when Dave Leto got on the radar and was put there by the, you know, was he put there by the Parker firm or did the DePaul people put him on the radar?
Oh, I believe it's the DePaul people said we want him on our list.
Let's talk about that list for a second, because, you know, and any other reaction you have to his appearance here.
312-235-2525.
Bryce Drew.
Yep.
Bobby Hurley.
Yep.
Dave Leto.
Yep.
And NBCSports.com reported this last night and confirmed it this morning. But Tim Floyd.
Interviewed.
Was the fourth name on the list. And Gene Lenti Ponsetto mentioned four coaches were interviewed for the position. She didn't name them, obviously. But what do you think of that?
Surprising.
How would that have gone over?
Not good.
If you think that there was
I liked him.
If you think there was a lukewarm reception
For
Dave Leto, the reception for Tim Floyd would not have been lukewarm.
No.
It would have probably been boiling over to the people who care about DePaul basketball enough to still have that emotion. Because I think there's also an apathy that we need to, you know, we can't ignore. Yeah, how do you ignore apathy? I mean, that would be apathetic to ignore apathy, wouldn't it?
It's kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah. But there is an apathy that exists about DePaul basketball, because I think whether it's in the media or whether it's in the fan base, or I've heard from a lot of people, they just don't, they're not that revved up about anything related to DePaul basketball. But imagine if Tim Floyd were the name that was floated out there and the coach that was introduced at a press conference. I just can't see that fit. And I'm very surprised it went down that road. That seems even more tone deaf to me than anything.
Yeah, that's surprising to me.
Especially when the UTEP athletic director was quoted as saying that DePaul did not ask permission to talk to Tim Floyd. That was in the a television
well, if they
station
didn't ask
in El Paso.
If they didn't ask permission and Tim didn't tell them he was, if I'm the AD, I'm ticked.
Well, that is, we have NBCSports.com reporting that Tim Floyd was interviewed. have two sources telling me that Tim Floyd was at least talked to, and that Doug Bruno was the one who was, you know, suggesting it. I'm not sure if there's a relationship there. And then on Channel CBS 4 out of El Paso on their website is reporting and quoting UTEP athletic director Bob Stull, quote, DePaul never asked for permission to speak with Tim. So Tim Floyd might have some explaining to do.
That's surprising.
Not really.
No, that he would not get, that he would allow himself to interview for a job that he didn't get, having not told his administration.
I don't know. I don't know.
Usually when those guys interview, they know it's a fait accompli, they're getting it.
Maybe. But I think Tim Floyd has interviewed for other jobs. You've heard his name come up quite a bit at times.
I was at dinner maybe a year ago with my wife. We were sitting at dinner, and I hear, hey, Cap! And I look up, and I'm like, what are you doing up here? His kid, one of his kids lives up here, married to Hunter Hillenmeyer.
Yes.
And so they were up visiting.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's got a strong pull.
That would be maybe the appeal.
To come back here.
Mm-hmm. That would be an odd fit, wouldn't it?
It just
you're talking
work.
About a guy that would be.
If you told me he'd won a title with the Bulls, different.
That's
but
the
it
thing.
Ended so badly that just you couldn't sell it.
Here's a question, and
that
people,
doesn't mean he's not a good coach. It just wouldn't have worked.
Do we overstate the power of perception?
Maybe
I'm probably guilty of it sometimes because I would have a hard time imagining how, or maybe there's a different weight that we place on it than athletic administrators do, because I Gene Lenny Ponsetto yesterday with a straight face said that I have to make a quote accurately because I asked her a question about, you know, the whole retread issue. I think Dave is new, Lenny Ponsetto said. I think Dave is different than when he coached here the last time. There's something to be said for the experience he's gained at other places. I've lived in Chicago long enough to know that if you win anything, people are going to come out and watch it. I agree with that.
I agree with that statement.
But the power of perception, I think sometimes columnists, talk show hosts, media, definitely weigh that heavier than people who were doing the hiring.
Perception becomes reality.
I think so.
In many cases.
But there's nothing in yesterday's press conference that told me that DePaul respects that idea. That they're aware of it.
Or maybe they were aware of it and they just don't care. She went, okay, David, write what you want to write. I think I know what's best in this hire.
Right. And I would, you're right.
And if he wins.
That's so apparent though, Cap, isn't it?
If he rolls into the tournament in 2017.
Yes.
And gets to the Sweet 16, everyone's going to go, wow.
Okay.
Pretty good.
But until that happens, I think it's fair and appropriate to be skeptical, because the last two times that we heard from this athletic director introducing a head coach, we heard some of the same stuff. And there were 50-something coaches closer to the end of their careers than their prime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know many athletic directors who get a third shot to hire somebody at their premier program under their supervision. That's what's surprising to me as much as anything. And in that context, not having a respect for the perception and the power of perception is a bit surprising.
Swarbrick did not hire Charlie Weiss, did he?
I don't believe so, no.
I was going to say, if he hired Charlie and that failed, and if Brian Kelly had failed and he had to fire him and they were losing, I don't think they'd let him pick the third guy.
No. I think that you're right. And I think that's why this sort of surprised me, and you can't let on, but yesterday was there was no sign that there was any sort of hesitation or there was any sort of reason to be wary about this. And I understand you have to go in with confidence and project a positive spin, but I'm okay with being a little skeptical here.
And I think they're okay with us being skeptical.
Well, it doesn't really matter either way. It is, as you like to say, it is what it is.
It is
what
it is.
What's going to change?
Right.
You know? But the thing that I would like to know is how interested truly was Bryce Drew, How interested truly was Bobby Hurley? And did they really say no, or were they just, did they pick Dave Leto over those guys?
Hey, get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today. That's A-B-T. And see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them up at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop where we shop. Apt, A-B-T. Apt.com. Ask for Steve Shapiro. Apt's been pleasing people since 1936. We got phone calls. We'll get to those and more. A lot to talk about. We'll be right back on the Cap and Haw Show.
You're listening to the Cap and Haw Show.
Rocking out to a little Macklemore.
Oh, yeah. I recognize that. I listen to that a lot.
Blair,
a lot of Macklemore. Yeah.
Nice. Welcome back on Cap and Haw, your home for hip and current music. Not his playlist and not mine. 312-235-2525.
It kind of catches on, Cap. I don't like all the... It's pretty catchy.
This is good.
I like Macklemore.
What song is that?
Lyrics are powerful.
They're sparky, and I'm not talking about my new dog. Can't Hold Us. I got to throw that on my iPod.
There you go. Make it your ringtone.
Play that, and my kids will be like, whoa. I should, once the tournament's over, make that my ringtone. What's it called again? Can't Hold Us. I got to get that at
Can't
break.
Can't Hold Us, yeah.
There you go. 312-235-2525. Here's an interesting story.
All right.
Iowa State assistant Matt Abdelmassi has resigned to take a job on Chris Mullin's staff at St. John's. Do you believe that Iowa State assistant Matt blah, blah, blah is leaving because he knows Freddie Hoiberg's headed to the NBA? Because I talked to somebody in Iowa the other day who would know. He said, Cap, he's taking the Bulls job.
I don't know that you can go that far yet. I mean, certainly he would be the favorite if Tom Thibodeau leaves, and it looks like that everyone seems to – nothing's changed there. I think an assistant coach, does he have a connection with Chris Mullin? I wouldn't read tea leaves too much into that. Because if he's an assistant coach at Iowa State, wouldn't he think like he might have a shot at the head coaching job? You could look at it the other way. I'm never going to get a head coaching job here. Hoiberg's going to be here forever. He just told me he's not leaving for the Bulls because he's the mayor.
Could be.
See? Depends how you spin. It's all about the spin, Cap. You never know. And, hey, the Racine Journal, whispers of the Bulls' interest in Tony Bennett, the coach, not the singer.
Really?
Do you see that?
No.
You got to do your homework, man. Mikey does lots of research here.
I haven't had a chance to go through every page yet.
That's all right. Yeah, it's a Racine Journal up in Wisconsin. And says, quote, there have been whispers the Bulls have an interest in Virginia coach Tony Bennett, who has been the ACC coach of the year the last two seasons. I don't know what the possible connection would be with the Bulls, and I don't really buy that, but stranger things have happened.
Also, Greg Marshall's weekly radio show canceled.
Yeah, well,
yesterday.
They're trying to figure out how to do a remote from Tuscaloosa.
Exactly. And Rick Barnes has finalized his contract. He's the new coach.
That didn't take long.
No.
That's a decisive coaching search.
And Shaka is seriously considering Texas.
As he should.
But how about this for Rick Barnes? Did you know his last three college coaching jobs?
Providence?
Nope. Wait. He went from Providence to Clemson.
Oh, did he?
Clemson to Texas, Texas to Tennessee. What do they all have in common?
Accents?
They're all orange. Doesn't have to change any of his gear.
Wow.
Can get me a new logo.
The more you know. Yeah. Tie collection. That's good.
There you go.
I would not have. So what you're saying is, in 2 years, he's the next coach of Illinois.
How about that? Rick Barnes, Tennessee to Illinois. Stay orange.
A lot of stuff going on in college basketball coaching. Very strange. And also there's a report that Oklahoma State Coach Travis Ford might be getting bought out. Another guy on the move.
and Arizona head coach Sean Miller tweeting yesterday, finally, to the people that try to make us feel like our season was a failure, go cheer for ASU. Hashtag bear down. He doesn't need to do that.
No.
That's stupid.
That's a dumb tweet.
That's
a bad look for a coach. You got to keep that. Yeah, you got to have some Twitter discipline.
Holster the Twitter.
Yes. It's coming from you, that means a lot.
I've learned.
You've learned the hard way.
Yeah.
You've been
not the hard way. That was Bernstein and Spiegel. I haven't learned the hard way. I've just gotten to a point
where you didn't learn that. You didn't go to that degree.
No.
But you have been better.
Yes. The block button is a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be a jerk?
Bye-bye. Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, the guy yesterday was on me for this was the thing. Yesterday I covered the DePaul press conference. Then we're going to get to these calls. So, Cap, if you cover an event, right, what are you – pretty much if it's your job, you tweet from the event.
Correct.
Because you're a reporter, right? I'm a reporter.
You do.
So I'm tweeting out comments, observations. I think at one point after Jeannie spoke for 12 minutes, I just said, introduce the coach, you know. And
– yeah, I was following you on Twitter and I saw, all right, time to introduce the coach.
So, it was quite a monologue. So then I get midway through the press conference. Haw, you're – enough with the DePaul tweets. It's boring. Who cares about DePaul basketball? You know, he's like, it is actually a little bit more pointed and insulting than that. So I just said, easy solution, and hashtag block. And I just went, block!
Yeah, bye-bye.
Give them a tumbo.
Right. Also, Seth Davis just tweeting now. A knowledgeable source informs me that as of this morning, no direct talks between Texas and Shaka Smart, not sensing momentum. So it appears those talks were cursory.
It's a good job. It's a very good job. They're going to get a big name.
Huge.
And I think if it's not Shaka Smart, who knows? They could go after someone who's going to shock somebody. Is that going to, if they don't get Shaka, they might get a shocker. And I don't mean Wichita State.
So if you're Greg Marshall and you could have Alabama or Texas.
Oh, you go to Texas. Oh, hook 'em horns.
A lot of basketball.
Seven out of 7 days. Huh?
A lot of basketball players in Alabama.
No way, man. You go to Texas. I just think the facilities, Texas is a better job than Alabama. Let's go.
Roll damn tide.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I don't care about. It's not talking about football here. Even though football, that'd be a good. That'd be a tough call. Although Alabama would be a better football job.
By the way, Greg Marshall and Nick Saban. Boy, there's not enough arrogance in the world.
A lot of warmth in that room.
Jeez. We'll get these couple calls in. One thing, please make a note. This is Spraying All Fields. Jim Duquette is banned from the show until further
notice. I can't wait to figure out why. Let's go to Mike and Niles. Morning, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Captain Ha.
What's going on there? Hammer, how you doing?
I went to Columbia for a couple of years for journalism. Wanted your guys' spot for a while. But congratulations on your show. Glad I'm listening to you.
Thank you.
The Paul has a new coach. We've had McGuire and Cummings and a good recruitment staff years ago. How are you going to get Chicago local stars from going to Kentucky or Duke or Illinois? I believe we have enough talent here in Chicago that can make DePaul come back. What do you think would be their recruitment point at DePaul to get these players in local Chicago to stay here?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. Good question.
Well, let me put it to you this way. You're not going to beat Kentucky 9 times out of 10.
Or Duke.
99 out of 100. You're not going to beat Duke.
Jahlil Okafor was not going to go to DePaul. They did not pick Duke over DePaul.
You know that the first school to offer Jahlil a scholarship was DePaul.
I was there, and he was an eighth grader.
Right.
He was working out in a Northwest Indiana gym. I followed him there one day. We watched him work out. I mean, I didn't follow him like, I'm going to stalk you.
He's not allowed near a Chuck E. Cheese now,
exactly. Hey, Jahlil. I set up an interview to do a story with him. And that was right after they offered him a scholarship as an eighth grader. They knew something. But he wasn't going to pick DePaul over Duke or Michigan State. What you have to sell at DePaul is you're playing a Big East that you can go into a living room right now and say it's the second strongest conference in America. I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you have the numbers to back it up. You have opportunity. You have a chance to establish a legacy.
Own the city.
When you're down, you have nowhere to go but up. And that you're selling these things that the kids want to hear, that you can be a star. You can be part of something special. You're going to work hard. You're going to play a style of basketball that you can be proud of. You're going to get a degree. You're going to get a degree from a very fine university. You're going to be living in a vibrant city. There's a lot of things to sell about DePaul. Now, of those things, you can say you're going to be playing in a brand new arena in 2020? Which is done first, the bleachers or DePaul's arena? Light them up, 312-235-2525.
They're saying for the
which project finishes first?
18 season.
Okay. Javi Baez in the major league could hit a major league fastball.
Cubs win a playoff game, yeah, right. Or DePaul gets their arena open.
Anyway, of all the things you can sell about DePaul basketball, I don't know if the arena is – I mean, it's part of it. It's part of it. But I think that you have opportunity, and that's very attractive to elite players, I would think. Proximity. You're in Chicago. You've got all of these players. Billy Garrett Jr., Tommy Hamilton the fourth, these are good, young, talented players. I mean, the misconception, I think, Cap'n, DePaul needs to get these guys to stay in town, but they have gotten some to stay. The impression I got yesterday listening to Gene Lenny Poncena was Oliver Purnell had to go, not because he couldn't recruit, couldn't coach anymore. These guys were 5-2 in the Big East at one point.
I think he was worn out. I just don't think.
Worn out?
I think he wanted out. He was done. Buy me out. Let me get out of here.
But how do you explain them starting 6-1, losing 6 straight? Starting 5-2 in the Big East, losing 8 straight. There was talent there. And you look at the Mike Henry. He's a Chicago kid. We mentioned Garrett Hamilton. These are players who chose to stay home. There are more of them out there. And now it's up to Dave Leto to find them. But when you're selling Chicago, it's not as hard of a sell maybe as you think if you are as impressive as he can be. I just don't think that Oliver Purnell was that – I want to be respectful here. But it never struck me as that impressive. He had a track record.
I remember the day he got hired and went, what?
I think he coasted. This was a nice retirement package for him.
He certainly got a lot of money. Let's grab Dave on the west side.
Okay.
He wants to close out the DePaul talk. Hey, Dave, what's going on there, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I haven't talked to y'all in a long time. Thank you all for the stuff y'all did in spring training. It's very informative. I have a question for Hall. My question to you is, as far as the DePaul situation, when I was younger, you know, I saw the Paul McPherson and the Stephen Hunters of DePaul. My question is, how red is that red flag as far as the disconnect of what we have as far as the recruitment of the Chicago area? I have a Cubs question right quick for Cap. My question, well, not a question, it's more of a comment. My comment is, I've been a Cubs fan since 83. If we could wait over 100 years for a championship, we could wait a couple of weeks for Bryant. True or false?
Exactly.
I'm going to hang up and listen.
thanks, Dave.
This is a no-brainer. No-brainer, Dave. No-brainer.
We'll talk more Cubs after the break. We'll get back to the Bryant thing and Javi Baez. As far as the red flags that go up in terms of, I think you might be alluding to recruiting talent and navigating all the Chicago Public League.
It's not easy.
Roads.
They got to trust you.
They've got to trust you, and you've got to do it the right way. There's a lot of funny business going on, right?
No question.
And you've got to find the balance between playing the game and following the rules.
312-235-2525. We'll take a timeout. Hawks coming off a big back-to-back pair of victories. We'll get into that as well, and we'll have page two in a little less than an hour. 312-235-2525. It's Cap'n Haw.
Tribune Tower Chicago. This is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
You see how the rest of your players are performing and how the rosters shape up and see if there's grounds for an exception to the rule. But in this case, we felt like it was the right thing to do. I think his performance mattered, you know, and you know, we told him that today. It wasn't as if he went out and performed in a vacuum. It didn't matter. His performance really mattered.
I'm looking forward to working with this guy for the next, I don't know, hopefully 15 years. That'll make me 76. This guy's good. He's going to be really good. I can't wait for him to get back up. He's going to be a big part of our future.
That's Joe Maddon. First, it was Theo Epstein, all discussing the Chris Bryant news. No shock, Bryant sent to Class AAA Iowa yesterday. He should not unpack, live out his suitcase for about 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah, let Javi Baez get comfortable, though, because you don't know how long he's going to be down there. At least they're not going to be they'll have company along with Addison Russell. Probably, as Theo pointed out yesterday, probably the three best players he'll ever demote at the same time. And the Bryant one has gotten a lot of attention. The Major League Players Association came out strong against the move. You knew that was coming. Scott Boras, obviously, the agent doing what agents do, and nobody does it really better than him, pointing out his emotions, just upset about his client going to Iowa, and he says it's going to diminish the quality of baseball.
They'll be playing ersatz baseball.
Don't you love that? Don't you love it when agents use words you have to look up in the dictionary?
Huh? What?
The thing that I think with Bryant is we've talked about that. It's 12 days. April 17th will be here, and everyone will be glad when he's finally up and, you know, hitting. He can still hit 30 home runs this year, whatever.
He'll be fine.
The Javi Baez thing, I think, is a little bit more compelling to me because of what it potentially represents. I don't know where I stand on him in terms of a prospect. I know that we've always said, and I think I talked about this last year, of all the guys that were supposedly stars in the making, he had the highest bust potential. He was the biggest bust factor, right?
Probably.
Because you look at Bryant, I mean, it can still happen, but I think he's got more predictable traits. You look at Addison Russell, pretty natural. Javi Baez has the hole in his swing, has the propensity to overswing, and that hasn't changed. Is he incapable of being coached?
No, absolutely not.
So why is he still doing this, Cap? Why is he still inexperience level? Is it because he's really swinging hard?
He is.
Is this a young player that can't convince himself that, you know, keeps telling himself what's worked for me to this point? It's worked for me for this point. I'm not going to change because it's always worked for me. Is that it? Maybe. You know him better than I do. I don't have a good sense of that.
In talking with Chris Bosio about him, in talking with Joe Maddon about him last week, he doesn't believe that he's incapable of changing. He just said it's not that easy.
So the degree of difficulty has increased as he's faced more major league pitching, mm-hmm. which makes everybody in Chicago feel like we got way ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
So the fact that we got way ahead of ourselves on Javi Baez, does that do anything, should that do anything to your optimism overall about all the Cubs prospects, because they are still prospects. So does Javi Baez give you is that a cold bucket of water thrown in your face?
I don't know if it's about all the prospects. I think what it says is relax. I know they're 8-1 or whatever, some insanely stupid number in Las Vegas, how it's come down. Just slow the roll down. It's the train is moving down the track. It's not full throttle yet. Relax.
It's hard to do, though, when I can understand why people have gotten a little carried away, frankly. I mean, I understand why the expectations have soared. You signed a pitcher to a $155 million contract. You finagled your way to hiring one of the best managers in baseball. You have seen a couple of your prospects do things in a way that are, you know, awe-inspiring. When Jorge Soler hits a home run, you watch it and you stare and you be like, oh my goodness.
Tell me you don't see Vladimir Guerrero in him.
Yeah, that's sound like Joe Maddon. I think he referred to him the other day as a young Vlad. And you see other qualities in some of these guys that you think, wow, there's a lot to be excited about. The Cubs probably didn't anticipate, maybe they didn't anticipate this happening this quickly, the hope being restored. You know, there's all this orchestrated losing. It tore down a fan base. It beat people's psyche up quite a bit.
Those days are over. That's not to say they're going to win the World Series this year, but the...
Are they?
Aimless.
How much are they? I mean, I know the Cubs are on the verge of something very special, but I just wonder how special. Because, and does Javi Baez symbolize more than, or is it just one player?
It's just one player.
Is it just one player?
I walked in the press box the other day, and who's sitting there? A guy I used to host his radio show, Ed Lynch.
Tom Waddle?
Ed Lynch. Waddle was out
there. Waddle was there, too.
You saw him.
Yeah.
But Ed Lynch is sitting there. In Hohokam, the old Cubs place, when they're playing Oakland.
You know, I was on my way to Hohokam, but my Google Map sent me to the old municipal stadium.
Phoenix Muni.
Yeah. Sorry.
So you and Edwin had lunch together.
Exactly, we did.
So
cool guy.
I walk in, Ed Lynch, and whoa, the guy that used to host my radio show. How you doing? Had a nice chat.
Hug you?
And I said, he did.
Did he hug you like he Leto?
He did.
Okay.
And Leto gave me a nice hug.
I know he did.
I said... What's going on there, big boy? Scouting for the Blue Jays.
Same big boy.
Okay, I did.
Right.
Scouting for the Blue Jays.
Uh-huh.
And hasn't missed too many meals since he left Chicago either. I had to get that in. Anyway, he said, hey, this kid Chris Bryant, one of the best I've seen. He said, he's legit, the real deal. And then there was a scout that, I'm trying to remember where I read it today, he's only given this particular grade on like eight players. It was like Mike Trout, Miggy Cabrera, Albert Pujols, like insane numbers. And he gave that same thing to Bryant. That's how good he thinks he's going to be. Peter Gammons wrote that he talked to another scout who said, love Chris Bryant, Soler's better.
Hmm. I've heard the Soler's better.
Now, Dan O'Dowd wrote a great article. I actually asked Cookie in there if he'll get Dan O'Dowd on for us.
Mm-hmm.
Dan O'Dowd, former GM of the Rockies, in his article on MLB.com, he says that when they were drafting 2 years ago, he was still at Colorado, they assumed that the Cubs were taking John Gray, the big pitcher out of Oklahoma, and that they were going to get Chris Bryant at three. And he said, we did our homework. He said, we would have moved him immediately to the outfield to get him
immediately
faster.
Interesting.
He does not believe he's a long-term third baseman. He says he is a waistbender and not a knee bender. He said, and if you're not a knee bender playing that position, you're not going to work out.
Is that scout's term? Waistbender?
It is.
So if you're not a knee bender, you're going to struggle defensively.
Correct.
And develop back problems?
That possibly could happen too.
It could happen.
But he said,
I have to try that.
He said they would have moved Bryant immediately to the outfield, and he understands 100% what the Cubs did.
Didn't the Cubs rough up Jonathan Gray the other day?
Yeah, they pounded him.
They pounded him pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so following that through, Chris Bryant's going to Iowa for at least 12 days, maybe longer if they want to, you know, preserve the Super 2 status and all the arbitration money they could save. But I don't think that'll happen. Does he play left field in Iowa?
Yes, some.
When he comes up on April 17th, mark your calendars.
I think he's the third.
San Diego Padres.
But do I think a year from now
what
he's
if Mike
the third?
Gold has five home runs? No. What if Mike Gold has 10 home runs in 12 days? And your left fielder.
Chris Bryant's
who's
in
your opening
field.
Day left fielder?
Chris Coughlin.
Okay, what if What if Chris Coughlin is scuffling with .07?
Then Bryant's in left field.
Okay. You bring up Bryant. Does he play left field for you the rest of the year?
Yeah.
So that's still a possibility.
Yeah.
Bryant in left, Fowler in center,
Soler
in right. That may be your best outfield.
Okay, so what do you do with Schwarber?
Schwarbs? You let him.
Dan O'Dowd says he's part of their core that he sees going forward.
Yeah, you let him percolate in the minors for another season.
He's not coming up.
Yeah, well, you got him. You're fine. You got Schwarbs.
I'll make two bold predictions. Mark the tape, Sparky. A year from now, Chris Bryant is not playing third.
Okay, that's not that bold.
And a year from now, Starlin Castro is not on the roster, and Addison Russell's your starting.
Oh,
shortstop.
That's bold, buddy boy. Is that what you called Ed Lynch, buddy boy?
Big boy.
Oh, big boy. That's a hot take.
There's a hot take.
Castro's being moved. Nonsense. If you want to be what
Save
you want to be, if you want to be what
tape.
You want to be as an organization, you're keeping Starlin Castro in his 200 hits per season.
Mark it down. That's another column I'll get to write. 312-235.
We're going to come back.
25-25.
We're going to switch the other side of town. I'm going to talk a little White Sox.
You got it. We'll get to White Sox. They got a really cool ticket thing going on that I had never heard of before. It's awesome. Chuck Garfine, 11-10 from Comcast Sportsnet. And we've got callers who want to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks and their goaltenders. 312-235-2525. Cap and Hall. I'll be right back.